Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, best caller before the end of the show at 6 o'clock is going to win tickets to a big concert that's coming to town, including some artists and groups that have been hugely popular going back to the 90s. So look out for that between now and 6. Part of calling in and giving your 2 cents on the Steelers will be tied into those tickets, which is a nice little perk and reward for listening today and wanting to interact with the show. That was T.J. Watt saying we can't live and die with takeaways after the game last night. Now, what happened here is the Steelers' offense was so bad, one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen. When I say ever, I don't just mean Aaron Rodgers in his 20-plus year career. I mean Steelers' quarterback performances ever. They showed a graphic in the fourth quarter that was like, hey, Aaron Rodgers has played a bajillion games. There's an argument this might be the absolute worst one.
You might be watching history, folks. It's never been worse than this.
Okay, and at 41 years old, that doesn't exactly like warm the cackles of my heart watching cockles. Him play this way. Cockles, cackles, all the same. But yes. I think what it's done is the offense was so bad that it's, I think, caused people to kind of treat the defense with some kid gloves in this respect. The defense was not bad last night. Okay, let me start with that. They did not have a bad game. Like, I don't think they played the type of game where if Aaron Rodgers was just so-so and they had lost, I don't think I would have wanted to come on the air fire and brimstone at 2 o'clock and just rip them a new one.
Yep.
However, this is a $160 million unit. The idea is it's supposed to be the best defense in football. Last week against the Colts, guess what? It played like it. Now, you said it was kind of flukish because of all the takeaways they got, sure, but that was like a wreak havoc, like wreck the game, take the game over against one of the best offenses in the NFL. That happened
last
week.
That's correct.
Okay?
Yep, that's all true.
They weren't even the best defense in SoFi Stadium last night. So whenever that's the case, I have a hard time like congratulating or speaking highly of the defense. If you played and the other defense was better and you have better players than them and your head coach is supposedly a defensive savant and their guy is like someone that just...
Your head coach like basically taught him how to coach defense. He's the student. Your head coach is supposedly the master.
That's why like I'm happy to hear, not that it, you know, doesn't change the result of the game by any means, but Watt should be a tough critic on them. We should all be tough critics on them. The expectation is when you pay that amount of money for a defense, you're great. That would be like the Dodgers spending all the money they did on Ohtani and all their pitchers and having like a 5 ERA. Like, it should be awesome. But because, like, they had a stretch of games where they looked like the worst defense in the NFL, I think we've changed our expectations for them. And we come out of games like this saying, oh, you know what? They weren't bad. True. But not bad isn't good enough, Chris.
I think most people are conditioned to assume that the offenses in the NFL are the highly paid units because quarterbacks are the highest paid players in the league. So if you have a good quarterback, you by definition have to have an offense that is having some real money spent on it. The Steelers are maybe the only team I can think of. I guess the Broncos, like teams with like rookie deal quarterbacks. But the Steelers are the only team without a rookie quarterback who are inverting that, and the defense is getting all the money and the offense is getting relatively little. And so I think the reason I say most people are conditioned to expect the offense to be the big money group is they're conditioned to also expect the quarterback to be the one sitting up there, a la maybe a Josh Allen, right, after a game where they score 13 points and keep turning the ball over and say, well, we've got to be better, we can't do this, we can't do that. The Steelers, whether it's a realistic proposition or not in the modern NFL, have a defense that's compensated to the degree where you think they're going to take over game after game after game. We know that that hasn't happened. I am also not in the mood to give them a pat on the back for acknowledging the fact that they've got to be better. They just need to play better, period. The one thing I'll say about Watt's comments is, hey, everybody, their highest paid, I don't know if he's been their best, he hasn't been their best player. Their highest paid player, though, seems to agree with me that they probably can't just keep going around saying, well, we'll turn over the other guys six times or five times and get better. You know what their record is in games where they haven't forced a turnover this year? I'm sure you looked this one up.
Go ahead, Chris.
They're 1-3, Pony. Yep. When they don't force a turnover, and that's been four out of the last five games that they haven't, they beat the Browns, and they've gotten embarrassed to varying degrees by the Bengals, Packers, and Chargers.
But the expectation should be that they force turnovers. Not five like against New England, not six like against the Colts.
But that they're disruptive.
But more than zero, man.
I would agree with that. The guy who's talking and saying they can't rely on turnovers is another guy who was quiet as a church mouse for the most part in that game.
Like, they had five sacks. Okay, that's good. You had zero takeaways, though, against a team that was without its two starting tackles. Their tight end, who has been a revelation.
Got hurt.
It had the dropsies and then got hurt. And they were down to a third-string running back, and a fifth-string running back was the backup. So, 22 points, that's probably like around average for the Chargers, and like that's probably like right league average in the NFL. You average 22 points a game, you're not good, you're not great. But given the way we talked about this game leading up to it... 25 points, because the safety, my bad. Yep. A lot of Steelers fans thought the Chargers aren't going to do anything against us because they can't protect their quarterback.
Well, guess what?
And they got zero turnovers, Chris.
You know why they got zero turnovers? Well, Tomlin even highlighted this at the halftime conversation with Melissa Stark. He pointed out they caught a ball, we didn't. So that's a direct shot at Joey Porter, who very fittingly was wearing Ike Taylor's number when the ball bounced directly off of his hands.
And all of Steelers Twitter had the same exact thought when it happened. It was like my timeline was just every single human being saying, there's Ike Jr., Ike Taylor 2.0.
I went with Ike Porter Jr. Yeah. I combined them. Also, I would say Joey Porter Jr. has not become close to the corner Ike was in his day. So he's got a ways to go here. Anyway, when I take stock of all that and I figure out why did they not have any turnovers? Why weren't they able to do it? You know, it was we had that very... in-depth We're Football Guys Friday show where we tried to make sense of who would win a game you and I both thought was could go either way. I said the worst nature of Justin Herbert, where he goes big game hunting, would end up winning out, and he would hold the ball too long and try to take too many big shots downfield and they would get him. Average time to throw, Justin Herbert, 2.21 seconds.
That's faster than Flacco.
Fastest in a game in his entire career. So what did they do? They got the ball out quick.
Sounds like that Edmund Fitzgerald speech got through to old Justin Herbert, huh, Don?
They convinced Justin Herbert to get rid of the football, and they only got pressured, I think. Like, the Steelers had a 30% pressure rate or whatever, not even close to what you would hope for, and those tackles held up. And then Collinsworth, when he wasn't busy butchering a name or pretending two players played together who didn't, was also pointing out that even though Watt's been chipped like 45 more times than the next most chipped player in the league, chipping is not, by the way, being double teamed. That's another story for another day, or triple teamed in the purest sense. They pointed out that he was just going one-on-one and not really winning in time. The Steelers were not figuring out a way to break what has broken them repeatedly.
Against
the quick
Trey
game.
Pippi Longstocking, whatever the hell the guy's, Trey Pipkins.
He was getting them one-on-one, and he was handling them, or the ball was getting out.
Yeah, the ball was getting out was probably the bigger thing.
What is going to be the solution here? We've seen the Packers do it. We've seen Flacco do it.
And Flacco's going to do it again on Sunday.
Flacco's going to do it again.
You know what the solution is?
We just saw Justin Herbert do it.
Outscore him. That's the solution on
Sunday. There's got to be... Well, hold on.
Hope he makes a mistake and turns it over.
If it was that...
And outscore him.
If it was that hard to stop the quick game, there wouldn't be a team in the league that would allow its quarterback to hold the ball over 2.5 seconds. There's got to be a defensive solution there. You're paying them $160 million and the coach $20 million.
There is. You play you've got corners that don't let wide receivers get open so fast. Guess what? The Steelers don't have those guys. That's the problem. Guys get open fast because... two things. They either give them enough cushion at the line of scrimmage.
Or they just get open
or
and
they
win.
Just, yes.
Maybe Mike Tomlin might want to put that $18 million or whatever it is salary to use and get in the old lab and come up with something schematic if you...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He doesn't have the horses.
Of all time.
Really?
And I'm putting that in there now. One of the best of all time. I mean, when you got, literally, we got pieces everywhere. Look at the roster. Look at who we have. It's incredible.
Signal, the pressure comes, it's picked up, love to space, downfield for Watson, he's got it! Christian Watson, welcome back, he's got it at the 7.
That's the extent of Juan Thornhill highlights we have, him getting burnt by Christian Watson for that long completion on Sunday Night Football the last time around here in Pittsburgh when the Steelers got beat by the Packers, and there's that screenshot of him in the ridiculous throwback Steelers jersey, and he's almost like spread out midair like a starfish or like someone trying to do snow angels.
Mm-hmm.
And Watson's catching the ball over his head. That's like the last time we saw Juan Thornhill. Tomlin said enough is enough. I'm moving Ramsey to safety to get this guy off the field. Released in the last 10 minutes by the Steelers. 9 forgettable games, 1 start. The performance of quarterbacks and wide receivers when he was targeted is insane this year. He was targeted 17 times. 15 completions.
Yes.
15 of 17, 88.2 completion percentage, 207 yards, 1 touchdown. That is a passer rating against of 137.
That's it.
Last year with the Browns in 11 starts, the passer rating against was 141.7.
He's actually gotten better.
The guy was awful last year, and the Steelers brought him in as a 30-year-old thinking, we can get him back to being the guy he was in Kansas City when he was a part of Super Bowl-winning defenses.
I would just point out for the record, other than his first year there, where when targeted, they had a passer rating against of 43 against him. Okay?
Yep.
It has been over 100 every single year of his career, Pony. Every single year.
Yeah, not what you want from a free safety. You're supposed to be back there making sure the ball doesn't get thrown over his head and he doesn't give up big plays. That's all this guy did. And obviously, to make matters worse, he came out and made those idiotic comments in training camp. He had been here for 2 seconds, and he said this could be one of the best defenses of all time.
Our friend Operation Shutdown, Derek Bell, who breaks down a lot of Steelers film, has, I think, obviously, jokingly posted, what was your favorite memory from the Juan Thornhill era, which I dutifully responded with the end of it. Got any better submissions?
No, I like that. 412-928-9370. Here is our first caller this hour, and it is our buddy Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Can you hear me good?
Yep.
You sound down in the dumps, right, though, Lou. You sound defeated.
I don't think so.
Night.
I think Lou's numb to it because he's seen this so many times now. I think Lou's used to it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the only thing worse than us, like fans, me and you, Chris, is picture those poor souls who flew out to California to watch that absolute embarrassment of an effort.
And at least the weather
California
was nice.
Steeler fans, yeah, and the California Steeler fans, which is a lot of them, went there and filled that stadium and watched that absolute joke.
And a lot of these people, according to Kabali, are stuck. They can't get back because of the way the airlines are working right now.
Isn't there some bad weather in the middle of the country, too?
Yep.
Oof.
So
icing on the cake for them. But listen, I was thinking about this earlier, right? If you guys could have envisioned at the start of the season this, Burrow gets hurt, Jackson get hurt and the Ravens start 2-5. The Browns
one
stink
and five
like usual. 1-5. Buffalo is not any good like the UCR. Kansas City's having their trouble. The entire conference is there for anybody to take.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's going to happen to us again? 9-8. In the same spot, or maybe worse, as usual. And that's what's really... we have no significant injuries. Our quarterback, until last
Lou,
night,
it's
was
even
playing
worse than,
somewhat
Lou,
decent.
It's even worse than you're saying.
Yeah.
They're in that spot, and they've beaten the two best teams in the conference by record.
Yeah, they've beaten the Colts and Patriots,
that,
Lou.
That's even worse.
Yep. Well, we both know the Patriot game.
They still, who cares? They still won it. Those two teams are 16-4, and two of the losses are to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, the only word that describes it is frustration. But at the end of the day, right, when their third down conversions last night were bordering on Pop Warner, it was disgusting. And when you watch the quarterback play, I'm sorry. I've been watching football, you guys know, since 1977, all right? I've turned off maybe 5 Steeler games before the end of the game. And last night was one of them. I didn't see the last touchdown. I went to bed. I had enough. But when you watch them play on offense and you watch the quarterback, he knows that the offensive line can't protect for more than 3 seconds. Just watch him. He's so antsy in the pocket. And the one thing about this man, his whole career, he never did that. So when you put in his age, you put in the poor play of the offensive line, you put in not having the second receiver.
Yeah.
Let me
ask you a follow-up question about the offensive line, because this is interesting to me. So yeah. I think a lot of people have texted in or called in and said the same thing. Like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was bad last night, but you guys aren't, you know, criticizing or calling out the offensive line enough. All right, so let's go through it position by position. How many guys on their offensive line aren't playing well? Obviously Broderick, right? Like, we all agree on that. Who else isn't living up to their billing? Who else is bad? Is the right tackle bad? Is the center overrated? Are the guards not any good? What is
Listen, if Fontano made a couple of mistakes last night.
He did.
Okay, I don't necessarily know if he's playing as good as everybody expected. I told you guys weeks ago, can somebody pick up the phone and please call Mike Munchak? He's the only hope we have left. There's something wrong with the chemistry of the team. This is my opinion on it, and it's obvious. Look at last night. The San Diego Chargers defense, they're not, you know, top five defense. They're average, right? They made our offense look as bad as I could remember. I mean, maybe the late 1980s offense.
Yeah. Thanks, Lou. We're going to let you go because we got more people to get to. I still think the Steelers made their offense look that way more than the Chargers
Rodgers
did.
Rodgers misses a deep ball to Metcalf and a ball to Smith, and I honestly wonder how the game looks if he doesn't.
Do you get what I'm saying, though? How do people reconcile all the strides they say these young offensive linemen have made, but then they come back around and say, well, the offensive line is why Aaron Rodgers isn't playing better? Well, which one is it?
It's either excuse-making for Rodgers because they don't want to acknowledge that he might be sliding downhill quickly, or they disagree with the team's opinion of the way the actual line is going.
Like, what would you say about their offensive line at the halfway point of the season?
I think it's still not nearly where I wanted it to be by this point.
Agreed. I think it's overrated. I think it's...
A lot of their, like, quote-unquote successes have come because of the jumbo
Bingo.
Package.
They needed, and I give the coaching staff credit for this, they needed to come up with some kind of creative way to kickstart their run game, and they did, but when they don't do it, they're not a good running team.
Correct.
Obviously, the left tackle without help is not very good in pass protection. The right tackle, I think, Fautanu, I think, has gotten better. Last night was a step back. I don't think the guards are very good. I think McCormick's just okay. I think Seumalo now can't stay healthy because he's had this pec thing since the summer. And everybody makes Zach Frazier out like he's the next in these. He's not Marquise Pouncey.
I think
he's just not.
I think the
he's
other,
good. He's not great.
The other four players on the offensive line have had cover run for them by how bad Jones has been and how much of a flashpoint he's been.
Like, Donnie, did you think Frazier would be better? Is that crazy on my part? Like, a bunch of his snaps have been bad this year.
I thought he would be clearly their best one. I think Fautanu's actually been the best one. I mean, nobody really had a nice game last night, but I thought Frazier would take that next step and it would be clear, like, this guy is in the upper echelon, like top
I think
three.
He's taken a small step forward, but that's the most I'd say about it. Like, do you see future all pro in him?
No,
I don't. Here is Tim on the fan. Hello, Tim.
Hey guys, How can we take a team seriously that doesn't even take themselves serious? We needed a receiver in the worst way. Everybody sees it. People at home, going to couch, and the coach of the team don't see it. I don't get it. Like,
put him on hold and give him the tickets. They wanted to fleece somebody. They wanted to make a trade that was completely on their terms, where they got the better end of the deal, where they basically stole a guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Correct.
And to me, like, I like Omar Khan, but at some point you got to give a little to get something back, and he didn't want to do that. Which, I mean,
don't worry, they're going to have a transformative draft next year as a result.
But I mean, you could twist that, even though it happened after a win against the Colts in blowout fashion. You could twist that as a tacit admission on his part that he just doesn't think this team is worth it. Right?
I think Omar has a less rose. I do think Omar, if you were polling like people in that front office, and it's specifically, I'll just leave it at Omar and Andy as one, Art and Mike. I think the least rosy picture of what they are as a relative to, you know, real good teams, the least rosy picture would be Omar.
And you're basing that mostly on the fact that you think he's an analytics based person.
I think Andy sees enough personnel to know like what a really good team looks like because he came from one.
Yeah,
I think Art, to whatever extent he's really plugged in, is like one of the last guys to stop believing. And I think the head coach is going to believe until the clock hits zero and his team has lost the game.
Well,
the problem is the head coach and the owner have a ton of stroke in these matters.
I think that some of Tomlin's like sorcery has worn off on Omar.
Omar?
Yeah.
We'll see about that sorcery if they lose again to Joe Flacco, eminently possible. If they go on the road and lose where they always lose, are five and six, and then have a pissed off Bills team, the Ravens on the road, and are suddenly staring down the barrel of being 5-8 and need to win out to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Deserve that winning streak.
All right, it is time for another round of PM Team Professors. Get out the red pens. We're sifting through Steelers, Chargers. All right, Donnie, you get first crack at this one. Grade the following statement. Aaron Rodgers played the worst game we've seen by a Steelers quarterback since Big Ben blew out his elbow in 2019.
Grade that actual statement.
Yep.
So if you agree with it wholeheartedly, it's A+. If you think that's off base by a lot, you give it an F. If you think that's pretty accurate but not crazy, you give it like a C+B.
I would have to sift through so many. I mean, I'll go B+ because it was an awful one, but I just feel like we have seen some truly wretched ones in the Trubisky, Pickett era.
Any come to mind? Maybe I can pull it up and compare rating from last night.
I mean, what did Pickett have in that game against the Browns that got Canada canned?
Funny you should ask. The Browns, the Steelers scored 10 points in that game, just like they did last night. Kenny had 15 completions, 106 yards, 53.6 completion percentage, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked three times, 62.5 rating, worse than Rodgers, 32.7 QBR, better than Rodgers.
No, Rodgers' passer rating was 50.
Oh, was?
It was 50.6.
Oh, then he was better than from a rating and QBR standpoint than Rodgers.
The Kenny thing is an incredible performance because do you know how hard it is to complete 15 passes for 106 yards, man? What is that on yards per completion right now, doing the math in my head? It's got to be like 7 or 6 yards per completion.
And somehow, passer rating in QBR that was better than Rodgers last night. I mean,
because he didn't throw any picks, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They had
Rodgers also fumbled into a safety. Belief. So you got to include that.
But the Steelers scored a touchdown in the third quarter of that game, Jaylen Warren.
Yeah,
that was
he ran
he had that
80
huge
yards.
Run. So that had really nothing to do with Kenny. Okay, that's close.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe like a Trubisky against the Colts.
Another good one. You were at that game.
16 of 23, 169 yards. So he completed 70% of his passes, one touchdown, two picks, passer rating 68.9. Better than Rodgers.
Unreal, dude.
May I submit into evidence the following. Mitchell Trubisky, in the time he did put in against the New York Jets before getting yanked out of that game, 7 of 13 as the starter, 84 yards, one pick, a passer rating of 41.8.
I don't think that's worse. And one of the reasons why I'm going to say it wasn't worse, if our man Deontay drops in, gets his 2 feet down in the back of the end zone versus the Jets. If he's anything like the college kid from Indiana, they score there and Mitch never gets benched. That was wide receiver error more than it was quarterback error, in my opinion.
All right, I think we still have to do a little bit more digging here, Don. Let's not go with Mason Rudolph part one. Part two. That was decent. How about Mason Rudolph in this little game we all remember?
Almost the Browns Thursday nighter?
Almost 6 years ago to the day. Mason Rudolph.
The Myles Garrett night?
Yes. 23 of 44. 52.3 completion. 221 yards. One touchdown. 4 interceptions.
Oof.
A 36.3 passer rating. Can I submit that?
I mean, when you think about how his night ended, too, I think it's up there. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, you did say since Ben blew out his elbow. So this actually, okay.
He also followed that up.
Retirement, but
he followed that up with an 8 for 16 getting benched for 85 yards, a pick, no touchdowns, and a 39 passer rating. Yeah.
And then Duck saved him.
Yeah. I'm offering this. I'm reading it into the record here.
I don't know. I feel like that final Canada game,
it felt the most futile.
Yeah.
What? Last night they were 0 for 9 on third down until everybody left the game.
I know. I understand that, but here's the thing. From, you know, not all of that game, but probably 3 quarters, you could at least tell yourself, well, this is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
I've
like maybe he'll click
great.
It on at some point.
Couldn't
you weren't
really
telling,
say
you
that
weren't
about
telling
Ken.
Yourself that with the other guy.
All right, can I humor you guys with a couple more here? Just tickle your fancy.
Sure.
Devlin Duck Hodges.
Against the Ravens.
Bills. Against the Bills was the one I had in mind.
Check the Ravens one in week
17. Oh, don't
17.
Worry. I'm just going to, you guys, this will be like a choose your own adventure for both of you. Against the Bills, 17-10 loss, 23 of 38, 202, one touchdown, 4 picks, 43.9 passer rating. The following week against the Jets, 11 of 17, 84 yards, 2 picks, 37 passer rating. The following week against the Ravens, 9 of 25, he completed 36% of his passes for 95 yards.
Jeez.
No picks. He was sacked twice. He lost a fumble with a passer rating of 47.9, and that was the last we ever saw of Duck Hodges on an NFL field.
How would you grade the following statement?
Is this me this time?
Yep.
Okay.
The Steelers will make the playoffs in 2025.
F. They're done.
F?
They are cooked, baby. They are capital C cooked. I think they're going to lose this week again to Joe Flacco, even though it's at home.
Oh, my God.
I think they're going to lose to the Bears. I think they're going to lose to the Bills. And I think they're going to lose at the Ravens.
Man, if that happens, I can taste the
the turkey.
The turkey,
turkey's
the
on the
sausage,
table.
Everything, baby. I taste it already.
I am way too much a prisoner of the moment with them, but it feels like they can't win right now. I know
they just beat the Colts.
I know they just won a game, but that game last night was so bad on so many levels. The defense, if they don't get a turnover, the book is out. Just find a way to keep them from generating splash plays, which usually means get the ball out quick, and you're going to whoop on them.
Donnie, grade it. The Steelers will make the playoffs in 2025.
Yeah, I'm not going definitive F because we know how this team is. They could very well bounce back and have a win or even have like a big win Like, they could end up pulling off a stunner against Josh Allen's Bills, and everybody will be pounding their chest.
Okay.
Probably, like, C-. Like, I feel like right now they're going to be outside looking in, but I'm not going to completely put that...
Yeah, I'm at a D-plus.
You know, to death either.
Brother, you ain't far off from an F.
All right, let's revisit our man City Limits and something he brought up again today.
Hmm.
The Steelers should regret not signing Sam Darnold. Grade it, Donnie.
I mean, that's looking like an A+. I mean, that
wow!
That is looking like the crown jewel of Austin's radio career as of right now. I thought that Sam Darnold would go to Seattle and revert a little bit back to what he used to be because he was away from Kevin O'Connell, an offensive genius. The dude is tearing up the league. I mean, I think he should be. He may not be just because of some of the big names around the league. I think he should be on a list with like Matt Stafford and Drake May as like actual MVP candidates.
I don't disagree with that.
I think he is right now. I think he's
passed. He signed a 3-year, $100.5 million.
So $33 million a year, basically.
Yep,
33.5.
Do you give it an A+ too?
I don't.
What do you give it?
I give it more like a B. Because
you hate Austin?
No, but
you can say that we're in a safe space.
I don't
here.
Hate Austin. In fact, of anybody in this building on the air, I think I've always tried to give Austin the most honest advice, even if it isn't something he wants to hear necessarily. Anywho. Austin is falling into one little trap. The trap of believing that because somebody is doing well elsewhere in an obviously better situation, that same person would be doing well with the Steelers, who have a patchwork line that would have possibly Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. Not a patchwork line, but an underperforming line. He's in a place in Seattle where he's been sacked 10 times so far in 9 games. I'd say that's pretty good.
That's really good.
It's terrific, actually. He is in an offense that has a very good running game. He's playing on a team that has a legitimate big-time defense, 5th in the league in points for, really good at every aspect of defending, really, all the way around. The running game isn't great, but they're committed to it. They've run it more than all but one team in the league this year, even though they haven't been like exceptionally efficient. And he's playing for Clint Kubiak, who I think is a better, at least, pass game theoretical guy.
But he was fired by New Orleans last year.
New Orleans is its own dumpster fire.
Sure.
He's also got in Smith and Jigba, a guy with a true mind meld.
Yep.
And I just think he's got a better situation around him. I also happen to like Mike McDonald as a coach.
I give Austin's take an A-. I don't think it was I don't think it's clear cut that the Seattle situation is better than the Steelers. I mean, obviously, like Jackson Smith and Jigba would put it over the top because he's been the best wide receiver in the NFL so far. So I would say advantage Seattle. Mm-hmm. But before the season started, I didn't think on paper they had a better offense than the Steelers. Cooper Kupp looked shot. He looked like he was done. Their offensive line struggled last year with Geno Smith at quarterback. So it didn't look like it was going to be some kind of net positive for them. And they've got bodies at running back who can be productive, which is the same thing I would say about the Steelers. So I didn't think it was obvious that Sam Darnold was walking into a better situation.
He's helped
not
create
at all.
The situation a bit, but I just can't help but think that if he was here, it would not be going this well. Smith and Jigba, while we're at it.
But Chris, who does that not apply to? Who are the guys that come into this situation and you say, actually,
Mahomes,
okay,
Josh
one,
Allen,
two?
Probably Lamar.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let me actually push back on Allen a little bit. I mean, Allen's having a good year, but he's not having a great year in Buffalo. So who's to say he couldn't look like that Josh Allen or worse with this team?
There have been times where they've just had like him in the cast of Rent as their team, and he's managed to make it work. So I'm not going to dock him too much for 1 year. I know Mahomes is still only 5-4 in Kansas City right now, as is.
No, I agree with you on Mahomes. I think he'd come here and
I think Stafford
is
probably good enough.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think Stafford's probably good enough. I don't think Love is quite good enough, but I think Love is enough of an improv master and stuff that he could make a lot of stuff happen. Herbert probably, but I am very down on like on their environment right now. Like there's a guy I'm reading on Yahoo who thinks the Steelers need to break it all down, but like the second sentence he's writing is, or the second paragraph is, Many people want to break this thing down and have a replacement of Mike Tomlin be involved. That feels like a bridge too far. No, it does not.
No.
You don't break the whole thing down and leave the guy who has presided over its decay to rebuild it.
That was PM Team Professors for Steelers and Chargers.
Does Austin's take actually get an A from me because it got us talking about it? Because isn't that the point of most takes? Get people discussing it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.